means you're first up. David Gilmore with John Deere. He is Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing for the Agriculture and Turf Divisions of John Deere in the Americas. Pretty big gig. That includes not only the Americas, Australia, and New Zealand. And he also leads the global shared services supporting groups, supporting order fulfillment, which I know means a lot to all of the customers that would be on here, pricing, training, and market research analytics. Other than that, I think he takes a lot of days off. I don't know.
Charlene, so, thank you. Thank you, and good morning to my friends and colleagues with me on the panel today, and welcome to those of you who have dialed in. We're excited to be with you today as sponsors of Commodity Classic as we think about this year's virtual edition. Charlene, you know, the question that you asked about what's maybe the biggest opportunity, we'll get into more detail later perhaps, but quite frankly, the biggest opportunity, I think, we focus on through the lens of our customers and how they think about their operations. You know, ultimately, you know, we've got to consider whether or not we're impacting and creating value for our customers through our solutions. And ultimately, we want to measure our success in the same way that our customers do. What's the impact to their income statement? What's the economic benefit to them? And what drives the long-term sustainability of their operation when they use the solutions that we're developing? You know, at Deere, we're fully focused on those needs of our customers and our ability to unlock more value for them in their operations. And as I mentioned, we'll get into a little bit more detail of where we see those opportunities as we go throughout the discussion. So thank you again for having us. Look forward to the opportunity.
Oh, she's muted. So alphabetically, Scott, I think you're next.
Oh, I just got unmuted. It's not like I've been on 5 Zooms today. I'm not sure what happened, but we made friends again. But thank you, Todd, for stepping up. And if you want, you can introduce Scott. I mean, I'm sure you do a great job, but then he might get the chance to get you back when it's time to introduce you. So thank you, though. So Scott Harris is Vice President, Case IH North America, which means he oversees all of Case IH's agricultural activities in the United States and Canada. Prior to that, he was Vice President of North American Construction Equipment for Case Construction. And he's here today to share his insights, and we'll give him a chance to give a brief opening statement as well. Scott, welcome. You're good.
All right, very good. You know, I think, you know, to take it at a high level, and as Dave pointed out, we'll certainly get into deeper discussions. But at the highest level, certainly technology is changing the way we farm today. And while I think you know, the producers are certainly interested in horsepower and in productivity, when we start to think about things like connectivity and the advantages that the technology give and provide us today. With respect to autonomy and some of the autonomy that we're putting into our machines today, as we go down that road to, you know, what we all envision at some point in the future, this notion of full autonomy, it's amazing. And you know, we in the past and up till recently, we launched new whole goods, and everybody on this panel does it quite well, and have done it for generations. And those take years to develop, and we know well in advance what we're going to get and what to expect, and everyone is quite good at it. Technology comes at us at a speed that we never imagined, and that is changing the way all of us go to market and the way producers farm today, and I think it's going to continue to. And I think there are, you know, there are probably three key areas there that we'll address and we'll look at as and engage in as we go forward. And that's this notion of, you know, autonomy, sustainability, and connectivity. I think they're all critically related and connected, and will drive the futures of our industry.
Bill Hurley serves as Vice President for After Sales, Customer Support, and Distribution Development for North American AGCO. Like all four of our other panelists, Bill has an extensive career in the farm equipment industry, and he currently serves as the Vice Chair of the AEM Ag Sector Board?
You know, like Dave mentioned, very excited to be able to participate both in this session, but also to be able to be involved with Commodity Classic. I think the topics that we're going to go deeper in today are tremendously exciting. But, you know, I would say that you had asked the question as well, you know, what are you most excited about? And I would say that I'm tremendously excited. 2020 is in the rearview mirror in a lot of ways. And you know, I know that everyone was challenged and has been challenged this past year in many different ways. And I think we all would say that our thoughts and prayers go to those who were impacted directly, whether that was through family members, our friends. But on the other side of that, tremendously exciting year, I think, especially from an AGCO perspective, in that we celebrated our 30th year of being in business in 2020. We've welcomed a new CEO, which definitely you know, brings tremendous opportunities. You know, to bring that back maybe from a more simple standpoint, I am very excited about what we have all learned, and I mean all of us collectively, through this pandemic and new ways to communicate, the ways we interact, new ways to work, and as things become back to normal, how do we bring those things that we've learned over? And you know, from an AGCO perspective, definitely our focus on everything that we do, being a farmer first perspective, focused on exceptional customer experiences. And then, as Scott and David both mentioned, as we look at the future and the role that smart farming solutions, whether that be autonomous vehicles or electrification, the way that our machines interact with customers' operations, those are the things I think that really get us up every day. So excited to be able to visit on those.
Great, thank you. And last but certainly not least is Todd Stuckey. Todd is Senior Vice President of Marketing, Product Support, and Strategic Projects for Kubota, which means he's ultimately responsible for Kubota's teams collectively achieving what he describes as a 360-degree approach to the customer experience to deliver with excellence. Todd also is currently serving as our chair of the AEM Ag Sector Board. Todd, please give us your insights into what you're the most excited about in terms of new opportunities.
Thank you, and thanks for everybody to allow Kubota to be part of the Commodity Classic. I think it's you know, fundamental for our agriculture segment, and especially AEM and our ag initiatives that we have with the manufacturers out there. You know, I can remember when I was younger, I was in farming before I got into a professional career here, is I went to Commodity Classic, and that's when no-tilling was first coming out. And I remember I phoned my dad and said, "Dad, get in the car and get to the Commodity Classic. We need to learn about it." And we start switching our farm over to a new farming practice. And it was pretty major for us at the time. But I think that question, that kind of brings the thought of the next 20 years, what's going to happen? And I think Dave and Scott and Bill, they all kind of said it. And, you know, at Kubota, you know, our fundamental is food, water, and environment. And I think that's what we try to do as a company. And that's really what we're all trying to say as an industry, is how do we secure the food supply? How do we protect probably our most, our water supply? I mean, I think water supply going forward is going to be a key thing to us. And then mostly is our environment, sustainability. You know, we got to be good stewards of the land. And I think in the next 20 years, that steward of the land is really what's going to prosper. We're talking about our environment and carbon. And I think what I see in the next 20 years is the farmer base can be the one that really capitalize from carbon, you know, harvesting that carbon, putting it back into the ground. And what do? We better our environment. And Bill kind of took my punchline because smart farming. I can remember going to school as a little kid. They used to call me a dumb farmer. But you know what? Our farmers are going to be the smartest people out there because they're going to have the technology and how they take the smarts of what we're going to offer and what's out there in a digital world, the connectivity and everything is really going to put that farmer on top of everything, because that's how we're going to deliver the value, as David said, is harnessing everything out there, being very smart about it, environmentally friendly, and creating true value for yourselves and for our society.
Terrific. That's a perfect segue into switching a little bit to when we think about the next 20 years from now. What is that going to look like in terms of the producers and the farm operations, farmers and ranchers, and how those different entities interact with your companies and your products, and where that intersection might look a little futuristic or amazing, or maybe it's old school. I'm interested in what you can share about the vision and the plans that you have within each of your brands. David, you seem to be the one that's the most excited about that one, so you get to go first.
Well, I think I think we're all excited about it, so I'll be brief and let my colleagues jump in as well. Scott tripped on this a little bit in his comments. If you think about our industry, from the time that we started mechanizing agriculture in the U.S. And even from a deer perspective, and when we started in this business over 180 years ago, we've all been developing world-class equipment, and customers have delivered more efficiency and productivity to their operations through that equipment. And what we talk about, we talk about bigger, faster, stronger. So you were able to gain economies and improve efficiency by leveraging larger equipment, and so on and so forth. But with technology, an even greater opportunity emerges. And while it's exciting, it also comes with a little complexity. So we've got to be able to create precision ag technology that makes doing our customers' jobs easier in the field. It's going to be smarter. We've used that word smart several times, but it will also allow greater precision than we could simply by the bigger, faster, stronger mentality. So, you know, in 20 years, you know, we're pretty dedicated to the fact that our farmers are going to have access to very smart, capable, highly connected, we'll use that connected term a lot, I think, equipment to manage their farms, not just at the farm level or maybe the field level, but ultimately down to the individual plant and seed level. And that technology that we implement is really going to be the ones that solve real life problems for farmers and makes what they need to do in their jobs easier. Sometimes that's going to be automating a task so they can focus on something else in their operation, whether they're still in the cab or whether they're remote. Scott used the term autonomous, and I think in other instances, it's not just going to be automating a task. It'll be, an autonomous machine that could be the solution. And advancements in that technology will make all this possible in the future. So we'll be talking about artificial intelligence, machine learning, improved sensors, robotics. You know, that's available to us now, but in the next 20 years, our farmers are going to be better equipped to leverage not just human to machine communication, but machine to machine communication will simplify those tasks that are pretty labor intensive today. Our customers will be able to make precise decisions at any scale, whether they're a large, medium, or small operation. And ultimately, we want them to be able to make predictable circumstances in real time. And make actionable decisions based not just on gut feel, like we've executed in this industry for a long time, but utilizing reliable data with that gut feel. So again, this combination of bigger, faster, stronger with precise technology is going to unlock a lot for our customers in terms of their productivity in the future. So I'll pause there and listen to comments from my colleagues as well.
Well, yeah, Dave, I would just build on your comments there. You know, I really think that, you know, the changes are going to impact every element of farming and in the way we farm today. And you touched on so many of them, and they're driven by so many things. With what we see happening in the environment today, in the history that the North American farmers have with land stewardship, as Todd suggested, you know, the productivity and the advancements and the learnings that we're getting out of the functional autonomy, if you will, that's built into our machines today, that allow farmers to make, you know, adjustments to their machines and their operation on the fly, to be good stewards of the land with respect to, you know, carbon sequestration and water runoff with solid tillage practices, and how the machines and even the implements are smart today, like our AFS Soil Command, that allows you to apply the appropriate applications to the land in order to, you know, optimize the desired outcome. When we look at the functional autonomy and the fact that a machine can be set today for a desired outcome, and a less than fully skilled operator can get that desired outcome. We all know the labor issues that we have on the farm today, and technology is positively and will continue to positively impact that. The advances that we're seeing today that are coming at us so rapidly are going to positively impact, you know, every element of farming in a really material and positive way. Really exciting time, I think, in our industry and for producers as well.
And you know, I agree definitely with what both Dave and Scott have said, and you know, have this question posed to you: what does this look like 20 years from now? And you know, that requires you to, I think, take a retrospective look of you know, what has advanced in the past 20 years, and understand that advancement is going to happen exponentially, you know, to what we've seen up to this point. And you try to summarize that, and I would say that, you know, the future of farming, future of agriculture, is one of truly connected, smart solutions that are 100% underpinned by digital connectivity that enable so many of these other things. So, you know, that enables automation. It enables electrification. You take those two together, and then you can start to understand that robotics are going to come into farming in ways that we've never understood before. They're not just going to be inside a manufacturing facility. They're going to be actually out in the middle of the field. And then to know that all of that together, you know, which links back into the stewardship that everybody has mentioned, all of these different smart solutions are going to be powered by many different types of alternative energy sources. And you know, and this doesn't even begin to go into the advancements that are going on in crop genetics and you know, processing, food processing, all those types of things. So I believe that agriculture, as we look over the next 20 years, is definitely going to be the most high-tech, advanced industry that's out there. And, you know, if there are young people that might be on this session today, I think it's one of the most exciting areas that anybody could begin to invest a career in.
Just saying that, I don't have a lot to say. These guys took all the thunder, but I think it's our responsibility. You know, what we're going to do as an industry is make you do your job better and provide you the tools and the technology so you can be better farmers out there. But I think with that, it's going to come a responsibility. I think Bill touched on it, is, you know, the technology and you know, for us as manufacturers is the intuitiveness of this technology so it can be spread out over the American farmer. That's our responsibilities and the training and how do we use this in regulatory. I mean, we're talking, you know, autonomous vehicles and connectivity. I mean, we have on our farm, we have some farms that we can't even RTK does. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, but infrastructure that has to be addressed to really get the true value out of what we need. But can we do it? I'm sure we can. I mean, it's when we join our hands and have a strong voice for agriculture, we can get these things done and provide you the tools you need to harness the technology, harness the value that can be delivered.
Well, you did a terrific job, Todd, of queuing up a question. The questions are rolling in, guys, so that's wonderful. Thank you to the audience for doing that. But the one that just came in is very relevant to what each of you said, because the elephant in the room is to have all of these capabilities and have everything connected, it needs broadband. To your point, Todd, not every field in the world has broadband. In fact, there's more fields that don't have broadband, high speed, that could the capabilities that we can see the vision of. So one of our audience members is asking, with these tech advancements, do you see more opportunities for your companies to put your weight behind more opportunities to expand broadband capabilities in rural America and create the efficiency and opportunity to use the technology that everyone's painted a great picture of that would be exciting to have if we could connect the dots?
Charlene, go ahead, Todd. You go first this time.
Yeah, you can answer for the industry here, Todd, I think.
Perspective is, you know, one of our key things is infrastructure. And infrastructure is a key one in there is broadband. And that's to be connected for the reasons that we just said. So, yes, as an industry voice, all 1,100 companies that we have part of AEM, we're going to the Hill and really pushing the need for connectivity and broadband, along with roadways, bridges, and waterways, so we can get our products to the ports and get our supplies back in to what you guys produce. So it's one of our key things. It's one of our key initiatives at AEM, and you can count on us to be pushing it. And we ask you to do the same. Get with your local organizations, and if the more voices we put together and unify, the more attention we will get, so we can get the Hill to support this investment infrastructure.
Todd, I think I think this one hits really close to home for you as well, because I think while you hit on some really good points with respect to infrastructure and the importance of, you know, broadband and waterways and bridges and roads and all of that. When we start to look at, you know, some of the things that we're developing with respect to, you know, alternative fuels and power, whether it's electrification or LNG or CNG or methane, we've got some serious issues before we can really truly deliver on the potential of any of those with respect to our infrastructure. When you look at what happened in Texas here recently. Yeah. With the weather event, right? Windmills are frozen. You know, we've got power grids down for days and days. It's we've got a lot of work to do in order to fully realize the potential of some of the stuff we're working on here.
Yeah, you got to watch what you ask for, because, you know, 2 weeks ago I'm in Texas, and I mean it was kind of scary when you're in rolling blackouts and your water's freezing up and you don't have any heat. And it was an anomaly here. I mean, a 40-year a cold spell, but what it really came back to, Scott's point, is infrastructure. If we switch our industry over to electric, or do we have the power out there, the grid out there to power it during the busy time? What happens if that went down during planting? What are you going to do? I mean, what's the backup? I mean, if it's not during planting, we have all the power we want. So there's some fundamental things that we must solve as an industry and as a nation that we can move towards these things.
Right. And there definitely is. And Charlene, going back, you know, specifically to the question about broadband and which drives connectivity, you know, the previous question you asked us what does agriculture look like in 20 years? Well, the things we talked about all absolutely require, the appropriate level of broadband connectivity. They do not work. You cannot, you talk about stewardship, you talk about, automation and all those types of things. You have to have this fundamental piece of our infrastructure. And I think that, as you look at agriculture, it is going to be more dependent. The future of agriculture and its success is going to be more dependent on ensuring that that's in place almost than any other industry that's out there. And I think we've got a bigger challenge in front of us because, you go and you look, and I think the numbers are like 24 million households in America, that don't have reliable internet. And about 80% of that 24 million, guess where it's at? It's in rural areas. And so we've got to collectively work together. As Todd mentioned, this is a key focus for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers and all its members. But this is one time that the entire industry has to come together in full force to be able to do this. And it's challenging because it is not cheap. And we are also going to have to come up with ways and understand how do we pay for these things. But the opportunity and the return that is there if we figure that out are just tremendous.
Well, and those of us that live in rural America know that this is the best internet many farmers have.
Yeah.
Oh. And we look forward to those days changing, correct?
Yeah, well, Charlene, I hope that our audience got the message that our companies, our industry, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, is fully behind any effort and will continue to champion the efforts around infrastructure and most specifically rural broadband, because we can't advance in the U.S. the way we need to without it. So it sounded like that message came across pretty clear.
I think it did.
David, I just saw a question come in. Is how do I back my data up, make sure I don't lose it on my field? And broadband's how you do it is, if we all go to cloud computing, then it's in the cloud and you're never going to lose it. But, if you go the old way and you have to move it around on a stick or something like that, you have a chance to lose it. So I think broadband is going to be our path to make sure the data that we collect is safe and is safeguarded out there that you can never lose it. So it's a key point.
Yeah, no question.
One of the other questions that came in that's very related to this technology side is, where do you see artificial intelligence fitting? And obviously we're already seeing some of that in equipment, but fast forward, what are we gonna see 20 years from now?
Well, I'll tell you from my perspective, again, Charlene, we talk about broadband being a fundamental requirement. AI is as well, because the level of analytics that are going to be required, you back up and you really put this in perspective. We're going to have a global population that's expected to reach what, 10 billion people? Mm-hmm. And in only the next 30 years. And that really, when you look at some of the studies, says that the farmers in the next 30 years are going to have to produce more food than what the entire world has grown in the last 8,000. And in order to do that, you have to be unbelievably smart. And that's why we talk about these smart solutions and how they all interconnect. And the only way that you can do that are with very sophisticated AI type approaches. And they have to be connected. They have to be real time. And the way that I think farmers will make decisions in not just the next 20 years, but even in the next 5 years, is going to be completely different than what it is today.
Yeah, Charlene, I might just build on some of Bill's comments, most specific to AI. And I know enough about this panel to know that in earlier days, all of us at some point in our youth, if you're in the Midwest, it was walking beans. You know, Bill might have been in a cotton field, you know, taking weeds out by hand. But the bottom line is we were using intelligence and computer vision and machine learning when we were undertaking that activity. So our eyes were the computer vision, our brain, you know, the decision to say that's a weed, that's a crop, I'm going to pull the weed. You know, that went through our brain and then we took the action. And that kind of intelligence today, and we just had opportunity to announce a product yesterday called See and Spray that takes what Bill was talking about. It's this artificial intelligence through computer vision, machine learning, and does it in real time. So customers have the opportunity to do, you know, at 12 miles an hour, the kind of activity that we would have been doing manually in the past. That technology exists today, and over the course of the next 20 years, it will just continue to automate some of the tasks that our farmers are executing today. And in the future, those will become, as Scott mentioned, it'll end up moving from automation to autonomy. And it will be artificial intelligence that drives that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it exists today to a large degree across multiple platforms. In the sprayer, you talked about See and Spray for sure. In our tillage tools, there are sensors to get to produce the desired outcome based on current conditions. Same thing in combines that are now, you know, adjusting themselves on the fly based on field conditions as they develop. It for sure. And then we look at other parts of the farm operation. As we've talked about, it goes beyond what we get in the field to predictive analytics with what we're seeing on machines. And when this system fails or this part is producing this pressure combined with this element of whatever's happening in the machine system, we know that in 50 hours this system is going to go down or this part is going to go down, and it allows us to proactively impact machine operation so that we can ensure the highest productivity levels available. And all of that is in various stages of development, I think, across, you know, the entirety of our platforms, and is going to change the way our dealers interact and help support producers in the field as well.
Absolutely.
Really, AI is going to be the tool that allows smarter farming and use of the technology. It's a tool that we're going to develop, that's being developed, that is developed. David just launched it, that is going to allow us to apply the smart farming out there.
Well, we've certainly hit a nerve with the broadband connectivity. Here's another question. It's a good one, but I'm not sure whether you can really answer it with full transparency. But it says, on the topic of connectivity, do any of you see future partnerships or reliance on newer ventures such as Tesla Starlink or AST Space Mobile to bring the connectivity to remote areas that your customers are in? Or do you think it's an expansion of the tower-based cellular services would be a more ideal solution? I'm sure that there are strategists in each of your companies that are evaluating that. So any insights you can share, I think, would be a crowd pleaser with our audience today.
Maybe
you look like you're dying to say something.
Bill, we all took a deep breath. Maybe it's fair to say, from an industry standpoint, if we can get this technology in the hands of customers to the point where it makes economic sense for them, it probably doesn't matter how it comes, whether it's leveraging technology and satellites that are being used for other industries around the world, or whether it's a cell-based, tower-based, in certain remote areas. I think our role in the industry is to identify the opportunity that exists at a macro level and apply it to what we know best, which is rural America and the needs of farmers in rural America. And we'll pick and choose the most economic way for our customers to engage in that.
No, and I agree. Yeah, I agree with Dave. I think that he's spot on. And, you know, every So the question about the additional partnerships are those types of things. You know, every geography, every area has different types of challenges. And I think you will see all of us understand what those are and who can bring the best mix together to deliver these smart solutions. And so, you know, from my perspective, you will see those numbers of engagements, those numbers of partnerships escalate significantly in order to bring that particular match that delivers that solution for that particular customer in that geography as we go forward.
Yep.
I agree.
Fully agree.
Taking it to a little more pragmatic front, perhaps. Here's a good question. Will dealers be able to provide enough support to customers when technology outpaces the abilities of the operators as we continue to advance technology in our machines?
I'll take a first stab at that. You know, I think our dealer capacities have to evolve as technology evolves. You know, and you look at the broad spectrum of technology, and you know, a customer may very well ask, well, how can my local dealer be an expert on all of these different types of technologies? And I firmly believe, and we're already seeing this. I know at AGCO we've got a new approach that we call the AgTech Squared, which is really a partnership between a dealer and company employees all across the country, all across the world, that have access or specific knowledge bases to draw on, and to help, you know, an individual dealer address a customer's technology issue. And I think it's approaches like that, you know, will have to be developed, will have to be innovated as we go forward.
Yeah, I think to build on Bill's comments there, for sure. And we're fully supporting the network and building those capabilities. And it is an evolution. And frankly, the very technology that we're talking about today that's supporting the equipment and the AI and predictive analytics and all that is also going to support the development and the support and the capabilities of the network that's charged with supporting producers in the field of operations. So I think it will all build upon itself. We understand very well, and we're going through it too, that there's a learning curve, and it requires, you know, boots on the ground and going shoulder to shoulder and ensuring that we get that everybody stays up to speed and able to produce at the support that's required to support today. But the support of tomorrow will also be built and enhanced by the very technology that we're building today to increase productivity in the field.
Yeah, I just to carry on the end of that, we understand the responsibility. Our dealers also understand the role that they play. The operations that occur in American farming don't occur in a factory where all of the in an environment that's sterile. It happens in the field, it happens where you are, and our dealers have to be able to support our customers where they are. So it's a huge commitment. They are ready to meet that commitment and specialize in ways that help them support you and your operations. And we intend as manufacturers to support them, because that's how we're going to be able to apply this technology in a way that really advances everyone.
And really what Bill said is, you know, as manufacturers, we're going to be there standing behind our dealers. It's our responsibility to make sure the dealers can support, as David and Scott said, is that we're there to support our dealers too. So if we roll out the technology, we'll be there to back it and make sure it gets delivered.
No, that's terrific. Couple, the questions are coming in so fast. It's wonderful. So I don't know. You guys might have to reschedule your day. We might be here for a while, but probably not. Don't get worried. But here's an interesting one. Is bigger, faster, stronger which we talked about earlier, is that going to be changing as autonomous technologies come into play, robotics come into play, to being smaller and more nimble?
Maybe. I think is the right answer. I don't know that we've landed on the balance to be struck there. Certainly there's advantages to larger implements and higher horsepower, but there's some disadvantages as well when you start to think about, you know, compaction and those issues. There's also the barriers of cost and what is going to be more cost effective and uptime supporting. If you've got one big machine in a field and yet you're willing to take the, you know, the compaction and try to handle the issues that may or may not come with that, and it goes down or you've got an issue, your operation is got a problem, as opposed to having maybe 10 smaller implements or machines in a field and one goes down and you're still operating at 90%. And don't have maybe some of the issues. And then you got to balance the cost implications of acquiring that autonomy. And is it going to cost less to have a bigger one machine? There's a balance to be achieved here and assessed. And I think we're all looking at it and all working on all of those, all of that potential. But I'm not sure that there's a set solution yet. But I can assure you there's a lot of work being done on it.
There absolutely is. And as Scott said, I love his answer, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as you look at all of these innovations that occur, and when you get to the point of, you know, so we're primarily talking equipment here today, right? But there's so many other things going on. Think about seed genetics. And, you know, what impact does that have if you really truly start to manage individual plants and not just managing the individual seed that goes into the ground, but literally managing the growth of that individual plant or animal. And, you know, from AGCO's perspective, we're heavy in on the protein side of the business. But as you do those things, the realization that there will be certain operations, certain functions and those types of things that probably will lend themselves to smaller types of equipment. And I think small is probably too big of a defining word, more sophisticated, nimble, you know, types of equipment that go through the crop life cycle.
I would just say is I don't know how much bigger we can go or how much faster we can go. So if I was a betting guy, I would say it's probably going to be smaller than what we have today than bigger, because I don't know if the roads and bridges and fields and rocks in the field can handle any faster. So
Yeah.
Here's a good companion question. It's kind of on the flip side of this is that, do you see a continuing need or customer demand for lower tech solutions from farmers versus a machine or implement that is all AI, all automated, all whatever? Is there going to be two tiers, do you think, in the future to come?
Yeah, I might take a shot of that. And I know we've got certainly inputs coming from elsewhere. I think we've got to take a step back and say it's not right for the industry just to implement technology for technology's sake. Then it becomes a science experiment. Our role as developers and manufacturers is to make sure that the technology we introduce to the farmers in the US and Canada makes them more efficient and effective. It reduces their cost of operation. It makes their operation more sustainable. And if we're not able to provide solutions through technology that do that, then you have to question, why would you do it in the first place? That's been the mode of mechanization in agriculture forever. So I don't know that I would predict, you know, two or three or four tiers, but I do know if the technology that's available to a U.S. producer can be implemented with ease, And it lowers their cost of operation. It provides them more efficiency and effectiveness and provides more sustainability for them. Nine times out of 10, they're going to implement that. Now, where we can't prove that out, then it would lend credibility to solutions that perhaps don't have that complexity involved. So I think we've got to be completely focused on what makes economic sense in utilizing this technology. And I'll pause there. I know my colleague will have plenty to say on that. Yeah.
I think this goes with our previous question. I mean, if the equipment gets smaller, then there's a higher probability that the technology can apply to it and work for a smaller farm. So, I mean, if it only is on the big stuff, well, then there's limitations there. So I think they kind of go hand in hand, and I totally support what David said is it's our job to add value to the customer, to allow them to do a better job of being a farmer and more productive and true cost savings.
Yeah, I fully agree, and I think there is a bit of a pivot here. I think if we need to look at it as we look at the future more as a technology than we do as a machine. And when you look at technology today, you buy you get a base level of functionality, and then based on your needs and your willing and the potential returns on those, you buy advanced or enhanced services. But I mean, I don't think there's probably very few that are on the, I know there's a lot of folks on this call today. I'd be surprised if one of them could show us a flip phone. Yeah. Right. So I think there's a, if we look at this more like the technology that it's becoming versus the kind of the iron that it's been in the past, I think that our industry will follow that same type of format.
Nope. Agree.
So this is, switching gears to a different topic that keeps bubbling up in the Q&A and in the chat. And I know it's an topic that not just the leaders on this call, but throughout AEM are very aligned on and really have great perspectives, I think, that might be helpful to share. And that's on the right to repair. It's obviously something that's been a discussion point within the industry and with the customers. And I think this would be a great opportunity, especially Todd and Bill, because you guys are leaders within the ag sector board. And I know devote a lot of time to this, as does Dave, as does Scott. So whoever would like to start that to kind of summarize that up to give some perspective, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'll be glad to start, Todd or you, but you know, as we look at this as an industry and I think that, from AEM's perspective, they've done a very good job in helping to coordinate and articulate a position between, you know, ourselves, our dealer association, those types of things. We are absolutely supportive of a customer's right to repair a machine. And I think you look today, there are tremendous resources. We may not have done a good enough job promoting those. Around technical advice, technical publications, parts publications, tools that are available, those types of things. Where the complexity comes in, and it's truly complex, is as you start to look at where the sophistication of some of these machines are around really a couple of key areas and around emissions. And what each of us, and I say each of us, I'm talking about manufacturers, but also customers, are held accountable to, are liable to from, federal regulations, those types of things, and then safety. And I think that's a fine balance if that really comes into modification of some of the technical aspects of what controls those most vital functions of machines. And, if a machine is there today and it's got X horsepower and something is modified in an incorrect way, well, all of a sudden your braking capabilities become very, very different. or you're out of emissions spec, and who bears the liability of that? So it's definitely a very very complex issue that's out there, and as I say, from an industry standpoint, 100% committed to an individual customer's right to repair their machine, and doing I think a tremendous amount of work to be able to ensure that tools are there. I know diagnostics is a huge piece of this, and this is another thing as you look at the advances in technology as we go forward. A full-blown telemetry makes huge positive gains around a customer's ability to be able to understand what's going on with their machine, to be able to work, whether it's with an individual dealer or an automated system or whatever, to be able to self-diagnose what's going on and then ultimately be able to repair it. But I've spoken too much here. You guys...
I think you articulated it very well, Bill.
Yep, agreed.
You wrapped a nice little bow around that. So thank you. And I think that will be well received amongst those who've been asking the questions as well. We're down to the last 4 minutes. And I wanted to, before we sign off, I wanted to make sure that all of our panelists know that there have been multiple comments coming in. In the Q&A, thanking you, gentlemen, for giving your time and your leadership that you give to the industry and the candor of your of the answers that you've given to the questions. So thank you. I join the audience in appreciating everything that you've done. And I'm going to give you one little fast, and it needs to be one word, guys, one word. If you had one word to describe what you hope the industry has in 20 years, what would that one word be? Go, Scott.
Wow, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait.
Patience, I see.
One word. Okay. You know what, I'll tell you what. Let me do this. I can't do it in one word. I need 30 seconds. But you know, I'm sure that I speak for my panelists here as well, and most of the people that work in our industry. You know, the North American farmer is the noblest of all professions that I can. I'm a globe, and I hope that 20 years from now, based on the discussions that we've had today around how we're embracing technology and productivity and stewardship of the land and sustainability, that I believe 20 years from now, noble is the same description that the world will provide will say about the North American farmer 20 years from now.
Just okay, as they do. That's a great one word, but you guys can't follow his one word or the system will shut us down. So real quick, Todd, do you have one word?
One strong voice for the industry.
All right. That's closer to one word. How about you, Bill?
I can't do it in one word.
How about you, Bill?
Stewards.
Well done. All right. How about you, Dave?
I had time to think about it. I like the word noble, but for me, it comes to passion. And just want to thank everybody on the line today, those farmers that do what they do all day, every day, for our country and our world, and they do it with passion. So I thank them for that.
Well said. That's perfect. Well said. I don't know if I could have picked four keywords better for you guys than those four. So thank you. Thanks for making this a fun hour. And here's to staying safe, staying well, and staying where there's no more blizzards the rest of this
winter. Right on.
And we're thank together you. In person next commodity class.
Yes, amen. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Have a great year, everybody.
To those attended and to those who participated here, you guys are the best. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Charlene.
Thanks, all.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.